Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Friday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us today. We've got a lot of action coming up this week starting this evening. New Albany will host Bloomington North. Our pregame coverage will begin around 7 o'clock, tip off at 7:30 tonight. And then Saturday afternoon, we'll be in Indianapolis. We're supposed to be on the air around 3 depending on the IU-Michigan game and the postgame coverage from that contest. But somewhere around 3:30, we'll be on and we'll have tip-off in that state championship game for the Lady Dragons of Silver Creek coming up at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. We hope you'll join us for every bit of it in this great time. Sectionals begin next week. About the only thing that's not exciting right now is IU basketball. Absolutely just a horrific week, a terrible loss earlier in the week. Lots of, people up in arms right now about Archie Miller and what this program looks like and what the future of this program looks like. And so in this great time of year where you want the focus to be on basketball, the Big Ten tournament's coming up, the NCAA tournament, who knows if Indiana's going to make it. I put my money on no, but that's not really the focus. The focus has turned to the coach and what his future should be like. And so I think we're in for a wild few weeks here to close out the regular season. And who knows what the offseason looks like, but we'll follow every bit of it here each day on the program at 11 o'clock. Let's take a look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. A very quick opening segment today because I want to spend a lot of time with our guest. We'll have a quick opening segment here now, and then later in the show, Dylan Wallace will join in segment two. Dylan is with Sports Illustrated Indiana, and he will help us talk through where this Indiana program is at right now and take a look at Michigan. And, of course, it's a huge challenge for Indiana, and we'll continue on with Dylan this week as we have with every other guest that talks IU basketball on the program. And what does Indiana have to do to make the NCAA tournament, and do you think that they're going to make the tournament? And I mentioned my money would be on no just with how this team is trending. But Indiana can beat anybody if they play right. We've seen that, and it's kind of a situation across the Big Ten Conference. Just about anybody on a given day can beat anybody. So you can't count out the Hoosiers just yet. But, boy, if you're looking at how the last few games have went, things are not good for this Indiana team. And you know that this team, through social media and in Bloomington, is hearing the criticisms of themselves and of Archie Miller as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team comes out. Do they get blown away, which I think is what a lot of people expect will happen? Do they make it close? Do they make it competitive? Could they somehow win? What a win it would be for their NCAA tournament resume and take some pressure off of what they need to do the rest of the way. We'll see, and of course we'll have that game for you Saturday with Don Fisher on the call as well. Later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will be with us, and with Kyle we'll talk about some of the great tournament games he's covered. He had a really cool feature earlier this week, the top 20. He ranked them in IHSA tournament games that he has covered during his time at the Indianapolis Star. New Albany in the top 5 twice of his list, and we'll ask him to break down those performances as well. That's what we're going to do today in the show lineup brought to you by Honey Baked Ham. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Dylan Wallace, followed by Kyle Nedenrip on this Friday edition of the program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday program. Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana is my guest to talk some IU basketball. And yes, we'll get to the game Saturday against Michigan, a very tough one for Indiana, especially with how they've been playing or maybe not performing recently. But before we get there, Dylan, this week has been an interesting one to follow as Indiana fans react to the team's lackluster performances and coaching staff as well. And I'd like to give you an opportunity as we open up. What do you think's going on with this Indiana team and with the coaches? And is some of the criticism that has been handed down this week warranted, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a really tough past two games for Indiana. I mean, you know, when you kind of look at what this season has been, you know, they obviously, you know, they haven't won more than two games in a row, or they haven't lost more than two games in a row, and that's kind of been the theme for them. They're just kind of on a steady trend. But I feel like these last two games, it has looked like the team has sort of, I don't know. I mean, when you look at the Rutgers game, I mean, it just looked like they sort of gave up when Rutgers made their run, got the lead by double digits. You know, it just looked like they didn't have what it took to really fight back and win. And you know, in the past couple of games, you know, even if they would lose, you still wouldn't really question the effort. You know, you know, obviously the execution wasn't there. You know, some things weren't going well, shots weren't falling, and that on all that. But the effort necessarily was always sort of still there for the team, and you could tell, you know, that they cared and whatnot. But I mean, I'm not saying they don't care right now, but I just felt like in that Rutgers game when everything kind of their backs were against the wall, just didn't seem like they could respond to it. And it looked like they just got down on themselves and they had nothing to answer with. And that's kind of, you know, that's not what you want to see from a team fighting for the tournament hopes on February 24th, you know, in the late February when you have to win these games. And that's been kind of concerning. And, you know, I think the criticism is fair to an extent, just because, you know, this is the fourth year that you've sort of seen this out of this basketball team with Archie Miller. And, you know, I think Archie Miller knows basketball, and I think he's a really good basketball mind. He's a really good coach. But I think there's a sort of a disconnect between, you know, whether it's emotionally getting guys fired up, you know, on the emotional side of things, or whether there's a disconnect in communication on what he wants them to do. I don't know, but that's what it seems like to me, because, you know, when you listen to Archie Miller talk about basketball, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what the teams need to do. But I don't know. There just seems to be some kind of disconnect between kind of what he's asking them to do and what they're doing, or kind of, you know, if they can't get emotionally charged up for certain things to fight back, or, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like he knows how to push the right buttons for this basketball team. At this current moment, which is a very concerning thing. And, you know, this is kind of the first time after that Rutgers game where I sort of felt like the season seemed sort of lost, even though they're still very much alive. And when you just look at the last, you know, three games, you just kind of look at them and you're like, how are they going to win these games? You know, you really don't know. And hey, you know, to their credit, I mean, a lot of times when it seems like they're down and out, they respond and show up and play a good game. So, you know, you just kind of have to wait and see. But yeah, I mean, after that Rutgers game, it was sort of the first time where in my head I was like, this season honestly seems lost. Like, they're still in it, but like, it's hard to see, you know, for them to overcome these things. And it just, yeah. And I think the criticism is sort of, I mean, it's sort of fair at this point. You know, this has been it has been kind of a long time coming. And, you know, this season's obviously been a weird one for everybody, but I just think the pent-up sort of, I don't know, anger from fans the last three seasons, adding on to this one, has kind of led to all of this, which I think, to an extent, you know, you can kind of understand.
Absolutely. Talking to Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Before we get into the Michigan game, it's almost as if the biggest storyline right now, and you don't have to comment on this yet. I'm sure there's plenty of time after the season that we'll have to talk about Coach Miller and what his future at Indiana could look like. But it's almost like the number one storyline with Indiana basketball right now is not this team's on the bubble. Are they going to get in? What do they need to do to get in? But it's more so, you know, calls for the coach to be fired, and is there going to be a coaching change in the offseason, and how much is his buyout, and can Indiana afford that buyout right now, and is there a booster that's going to step up and pay said buyout? So that's never good when the regular season is coming to a close and your team is battling for a chance at postseason life, and that really has become this week, especially, I feel like, since that last loss, the number one topic of conversation. It's what fans want us to talk about today on this show. It's what fans want you to write about.
Yeah, no, it really has been. I think Rick Bozich had a piece about that from WDRB. That's sort of like what people are talking about right now. You know, and that's like, it's like, you know, during a game, if like Indiana gives up like an 8-0 run and they're down like six or whatever, like people will start posting like fire Archie Miller, fire, like not like here the team needs to do this on offense or this on defense to get back into the game. No, they're just like fire. Like that is literally anytime anything goes wrong in these games lately, like that is people's first reaction to whatever. And it's not so much about what do they have to do to get into the tournament. It's like we're fed up. We've seen enough. We don't want Archie Miller to be the head coach anymore. And you know, it's going to be like, then it makes you wonder, like, what more can happen to sort of salvage that conversation, salvage this season? And, you know, for me, you know, I think if you get into the tournament, does that fix it? I don't know. I think if you get into the tournament and you win a game or you win two games, you know, especially if you win two games, I think that sort of changes the conversation. But I don't know. I mean, how realistic is that? So it's kind of hard to see like anything happening this season where you know, this team or this program can sort of shift away from that conversation, because I think people's minds are kind of made up right now. And especially, you know, if you struggle, I mean, especially I think after, if you can't beat Purdue in the last game of the season, that's going to just rehash those things. So it's going to be a very, you know, it's going to be a very sort of toxic, I think, end of the season. If things don't go well, you know, because this fan base is definitely, you know, they're definitely passionate. You know, I will say that. But sometimes it can get very toxic out on social media, the things people say. So, yeah, you're dead on. Like, that's the conversation people want to have right now. So if you're Scott Dolson, I mean, you know, he's had the toughest year coming in as his first year AD, dealing with the pandemic and how to navigate all that. Now, you know, his biggest sport is kind of under fire right now, and he's got some decisions to sort of take into consideration and make as we sort of head into the off season. But I mean, yeah, there's still a lot of season left. So, you know, hopefully people can sort of focus on basketball games for the time being until we kind of get through this. Cause like I said, you know, there's still a shot, you know, there's still a viable path for them to get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no question. Hey, it doesn't get easy for Indiana. Nothing's easy right now. Nothing's easy in the Big Ten for anybody, but this Michigan team, I think they've proven to me that they're the real deal. I mean, who goes on a pause for 2 weeks or just over 2 weeks, I think it ended up being, where there's not only no games, but there's no practices. And I'm sure the individual players were finding some way to stay in shape or get some workouts in, I would have to assume. But for them to come back out of that break and basically, for the most part, pick up where they left off, has me as a big believer that Michigan can be the Big Ten's representative as far as they possibly want to go in the NCAA tournament. And so things are going to get no easier for IU in Bloomington on Saturday. This Michigan team, Dylan, I'm not sure if you share the same thoughts on what they could accomplish this March as what I do, but, man, they are really, really good. They're playing some great basketball.
Yeah, I think it's time that, you know, people start talking about Baylor and Gonzaga along with Michigan in the conversation. You know, that's all we've kind of heard, Baylor, Gonzaga all season long. But man, I don't know how you don't mention Michigan anymore. Just every time I watch them play, you know, one, it's just fun basketball. Like it's just pleasing to watch that team play basketball, and what they're able to do on both sides of the ball is just so impressive. I mean, defensively, you know, they have so many versatile guys that can really defend anybody, get up on you. And then offensively, you know, they run through Hunter Dickinson sometimes, but you know, they play with great pace. They got guys that can shoot it, and it's just fun to watch. And you look at what they did to Iowa last night. I mean, man, like, you know, Indiana obviously has stifled Iowa a few times this year, but what Michigan did to them is just completely new to the Hawkeyes. They're just so good. And you know, it's funny because I remember before the Ohio State game, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, hey, Indiana might have a shot, and you know, how they match up against them. But when you look at the Michigan roster, like, I just cannot see a way that this just seems like a terrible matchup for Indiana, especially because Michigan, you know, if they get after you defensively and they make you uncomfortable, like, what is Indiana going to do? You know, we've seen Indiana kind of fold when teams kind of get up on you and make you uncomfortable, and that's what Michigan can do. Plus, they have, you know, if Indiana's defense continues to struggle, I mean, that offense is just going to score. So it seems like, this is the first game of the season where I genuinely don't think there's like a path for Indiana to win. But hey, I mean, they sort of come out and prove you and kind of do things randomly when you don't expect them to do. So, you know, I guess we'll see. But yeah, this almost seems like a guaranteed sort of loss at this point. But it's a very good opportunity to, I mean, if you win this game, I mean, that might be all you need, to be honest, if you go and lose the next two. I mean, this might be the game that puts you over the top if you're able to beat Michigan, because, I mean, they have proved that they are honestly one of the top teams in the country, and I think they belong in the conversation with Baylor and Gonzaga, and it's going to be really fun to kind of watch their run in March, and just the job that Juwan Howard has done has been really impressive. And even with, I mean, you just look at what they're built with the future. I mean, for the recruiting class for 2021, I mean, three of those dudes are All-Americans of the 24 All-Americans. So that's really impressive as well. So, that, you know, Michigan's going to be a force in this season. They've been really fun to watch. And, you know, I'm glad their pause is over because, man, they played, what, four games since their pause, and they've won every single one of them and looked just as good, if not even better. You know, they're playing probably their best basketball right now, and it's just really impressive.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guess. If you're Archie Miller, if you're this Indiana team and you've got this big challenge coming to town and you need a win, what are some things Indiana's got to do different? And there are some obvious answers here with how this Indiana team has played. I think of turnovers and free throw shooting and getting anything, something out of the backcourt and defense, of course, as well. But what's Indiana got to do to even keep this thing close? Because it's possible, because we've seen this team play well and beat Iowa twice and play against other really good teams in the conference. But with how this team is kind of trending downward right now, I think, like a lot of fans, I wonder if this one will even be close.
Yeah, well, first, I mean, you got to hope that Armand Franklin's healthy. You know, he missed the entire second half of Rutgers. He kind of re-aggravated the ankle, which is something he's been dealing with kind of all year. So, you hope he's healthy, because you're going to need his size defensively, you know, probably on a guy like Franz Wagner or Isaiah Livers. And then you're going to need him on the offensive end, too. You know, what Indiana has done really well with their guards, especially Al Durham, is like when you kind of run them on that kind of curl pin down, and you know, because you know, Al Durham's not a point guard. When you're running Al off the ball and you're getting him in the paint like that, I mean, you know, that's when good things can happen. He can drop it off to the big for, you know, a layup, or he can pull up for a little mid range. Like, that's how you use Al Durham. And you know, sometimes when they have him bring the ball up and things like that, run the offense, like, things don't go well because that's not the type of player he is. So I think you got to kind of maximize what your guards are able to do. You need Rob Pennessy to at least do something, contribute something. I mean, his shot is so off right now. You know, he struggled in the past, but, man, I don't know. I can't remember when his shot has just been so off lately. And then, obviously, you know, this matchup with Trayce Jackson-Davis versus Hunter Dickinson, man, Hunter Dickinson shut down Luke. I mean, he still scored, what, 16 or 18 points, but, you know, he really gave Luka Garza problems. Which I know Race Thompson was sort of able to do, but the way Hunter Dickinson was able to guard him was really impressive. So, you know, that might be a tough matchup for Trayce, but you're going to have to continue to give him the ball. I mean, he played really well against Rutgers. He played really well against Michigan State. Like, he is getting the job done right now, and you got to continue to go to him and have him kind of get you off to those good starts, as, you know, hopefully continues to happen for this team. And then from there, you know, you just got to lock in defensively. Like, Archie Miller said it after Rutgers, like, you know, earlier on in this season, you know, even if the team sort of struggled offensively, like, the one thing they were able to hang their head on was they were able to kind of scrap away, get stops on defense, give themselves a shot. And that was exactly true. Like, that's what they were able to do. And that's what a lot of people were saying early on. Like, you know, if this team will be in most games because of their defense. And now they're not in most games because of their defense. And that's, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, maybe they need another 10-day break where they kind of reset. But, you know, you're not going to get that anymore. You know, you're not going to get that. So you need to somehow, in these couple days you've had off and in practice, and kind of flip the switch there and get back locked in defensively, because that's kind of where it's going to be made or break on Saturday and honestly for the rest of the season. You know, this team can be a good defensive team. They've shown it, but they haven't shown it in a long time, it feels like. And that's where you got to really, really lock in on this Michigan team, because they got guys 1 through 5, and they got guys off the bench, you know, Sean D. Brown or Austin Davis. You know, they got guys that can come in and do things as well. So it's going to be a tough matchup. And I also think, hey, maybe give Anthony Leal a little bit more minutes. I mean, you know, he's a guy that can shoot the ball, and that's what you kind of need. And, you know, not to you know, be hard on Trey Galloway. You know, he's still a freshman. He's developing. But, you know, what can Anthony Leal give you that Trey Galloway isn't giving you right now? I mean, Trey Galloway's kind of struggled a bit. Anthony Leal can at least shoot the ball. You could maybe hide him defensively, putting him on a guy like Eli Brooks, who plays a little bit off the ball for Michigan. You know, so those are just a couple things where, you know, you need to kind of see come to fruition on Saturday, or else this thing could honestly get out of hand very quickly.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Let's look beyond Saturday. The Hoosiers have a handful of games left after Saturday's Michigan game at Michigan State on Tuesday, and then a week from Saturday they will play at rival Purdue. I know there's a path for this team, and in fact, they're still in the tournament or on the bubble, according to most of the bracketologies that have been updated this week. But do you really think this team is trending toward having a legit chance to be in the tournament? I know some people have said they need 2 Big Ten wins, and obviously if you count Michigan out, which may be unfair to do, but we just confidently feel that there's that much separation between the two teams. Michigan State, I think, is winnable, but then you think, how did Indiana lose to them at home in the manner that they did? And Purdue has been up and down, but Indiana just hasn't been able to beat Purdue. I mean, I don't know what else to say. In Archie Miller's time in Bloomington, he's been 0-for against the Boilermakers. So, to me, it's hard to see this Indiana team getting in the Big Ten tournament. It's hard to see them getting 2 wins out of the next 3 games. But I'm curious your thoughts when it comes to the postseason and the chances for this team.
Yeah, the way that things are trending, it seems like they're going to have to win a game, maybe 2 games in the Big Ten tournament. Like, if they can't right the ship here in the last 3 games and find 2 victories, like, they honestly might, unless that victory is Michigan, which it probably won't be, like, they might have to rely on the Big Ten tournament to win a couple of games. And, you know, that's nerve-wracking, because, I mean, hey, they're very close to potentially falling to that bottom 4 and playing on the first day of the Big Ten tournament like last year, which is not a good thing. And I think what's good, what maybe helps them a little bit, is Minnesota lost to Northwestern last night. So now that sort of opens up a bubble spot. I think Minnesota's really, really starting to play their way out of the tournament, even more than Indiana is. So that might help. But the problem is, you got Michigan State, I mean, just beating Ohio State last night. And all of a sudden, like, they are right there. And they are playing really well as well, which makes you kind of go to that after Michigan. You know, they go to East Lansing, where this Michigan State team has just been firing on all cylinders, which obviously started against Indiana when they went down double digits and Indiana allowed them to come back and get confidence. And from there, you know, they have just taken off. And with Tom Izzo, I mean, you kind of knew, like, hey, you're not necessarily surprised, but you're just impressed at kind of what's happening with them. So that game becomes tough. I mean, it's definitely winnable, though. Like, you know, they can definitely go to East Lansing and get a win, and they're going to really have to. And then with Purdue, I mean, yeah, I mean, geez, you know, Purdue's definitely beatable. Like, there is nothing about this Purdue team that where you look at them, you're like, Indiana stands no chance. Like, Indiana has a really good chance to beat Purdue. They just have to go do it, you know. Purdue's talent-wise isn't that much more talented than Indiana. You know, they're pretty even with Trayvon Williams and Trace Jackson Davis. And then, you know, all around with the guards. I mean, Race Thompson and Mason Gillis are pretty similar in regards to kind of how they play the game in the 4 roles. And then the perimeter players, I mean, you know, Purdue's got a bunch of young guys, freshmen, and Indiana guys can hang with them. You know, they just have to really go out there and win that game. And those are kind of the 2 games. You know, they're 2 road games, so, you know, that'll be, I don't know. I mean, Indiana, in essence, sort of played a little bit better on the road this season than at home. So, you know, those are going to be two major games. And, you know, even if you lose to Michigan, I think if you go beat Michigan State, which is going to turn into like a pretty decent win, I think it might, you know, be close to a quad two or a quad one since it's on the road with the way that they've kind of revamped their season. And then Purdue, you know, those are two big chances to get two big road wins. And get some momentum going into the Big Ten tournament. And then at that point, you'd clearly kind of secure, you wouldn't play on the first day, and you'd probably, you know, probably get like one of the last four in the first round, which would be a good thing. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, the way that it's trending, like you said, you know, with the word trending, it feels like they're going to need the Big Ten tournament to somehow get in the NCAA tournament, which if you're an Indiana fan, you don't want to hear, because obviously, you know, the history in the Big Ten tournament isn't always a good thing. And I feel, you know, they don't win a lot of games in it and all that kind of stuff. So, it felt easier a couple weeks ago than it does today. That's for sure.
Dylan, I want to close with something not related to the current team or this upcoming game, and I'm sure it was hard for fans after such a disappointing loss to Rutgers in the manner that it happened earlier this week to stick around and watch something that was positive, that recalled such great memories of a wonderful time for the Indiana basketball program. But the Big Ten Network special, I think it was billed the trip or the big trip, about the Indiana team back in the mid-'80s, their trip, lengthy trip overseas to play exhibition games under Coach Knight, was just fantastic. And I'm not sure if you were busy covering things and had to flip over to the press conference and were able to watch that program or not, but I wanted to be sure I brought it up, because if you're a longtime fan of Indiana basketball, that's, to me, a can't-miss show. And I'm sure it's going to re-air many times on the Big Ten Network. But what an interesting set of interviews, and from such a good period for the IU program that was.
Yeah, it seemed like it was super cool. I didn't get to catch it, but I did watch, you know, I've seen the trailer multiple times because I wrote a little, like, how to watch this big trip thing. And so I saw the preview a number of times. And it just, like, the way that it seemed like it was framed, you know, they struggled the season before. And then Bob Knight decides, like, hey, you know, let's go internationally. Let's go on a trip around the world, you know, like Finland and, you know, all these different places. And, you know, the team was like, they just needed, like, to you know, essentially gain some chemistry off the floor and kind of become, you know, I think one of the players said, you know, we weren't together at this time. And then, you know, they were kind of in the trenches overseas together, and all of a sudden, like, then, you know, when they get back to Bloomington and they get back ready for the season, you know, they're a completely different team. You know, they're able to sort of bond on the floor together. They're able to, you know, execute at a high level. Like, it seemed like it was a super cool, like, way. And I think it just sort of goes back to sort of the genius that Bob Knight was, to realize, like, you know, one way to get something out of your players, like, you know, he wasn't going to do anything with X's and O's. He wasn't going to yell at them. Like, he honestly was like, let's go on a trip internationally. And, like, he knew that would help the team. And it did. And it eventually led to a national title and a couple of really, really good teams at Indiana. And, yeah, I think a lot of fans, you know, some people commented on the story and were just like, man, what great days these were. I watched it and it was amazing. And I'm sure it's going to rerun like a bunch of times. You know, I wasn't kind of alive during this time for Indiana, but, you know, obviously people talk about it a lot. It's hanging over your head in the Assembly Hall every time you walk in with those banners. And, you know, that is the reason why the expectations are so high around this program. And that's why they'll continue to be, because people know what kind of really good teams look like, and they know that Indiana has resources to become one. And I think that's why people get so frustrated. But yeah, I mean, that was a really cool thing. So I'm definitely looking forward to kind of catching up on it and watching it at one point. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of Indiana fans were able to sort of watch that and kind of reminisce and kind of get a break, get a breather, and sort of forget about the season at the moment and kind of reminisce about the good old days for Indiana basketball.
Absolutely, no question. Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, our guest. Dylan, as always, thanks for your chat on this Friday to help conclude the week.
Yep, thank you.
That's Dylan Wallace for today, and we'll head to a commercial break and come back with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. A send-off is set later this afternoon for the Silver Creek Lady Dragons as they head to Indianapolis. They will practice and spend the night and get ready for their big 3A state championship game tomorrow afternoon against South Bend, Washington at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We'll be back to talk some high school hoops and more with Kyle. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back here on this Friday program. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star with me, and Kyle had an excellent feature piece earlier this week about some of the top basketball games that he has viewed in the state tournament, and it's a perfect feature for the perfect time of year with sectionals in the state tournament just around the corner, set to begin next week across the Hoosier State. And Kyle, I got to hand it to you, your memory to pull some of these details up from past stories and even remember where to start as far as making a list of games. That kind of made me to think back as well, going all the way back to my childhood about some of the great games I've seen, whether it was multi-class or single-class state tournaments. And there are a number of games I think fans and listeners of this show would remember, including a couple New Albany games on your list as well. But job well done on that feature, and I think it's a good talking point to begin with today with the state tournament this year coming up in just days.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that'd be a fun way to sort of kick off. And I did something a little bit similar last year, but not the specific games and kind of what I remember. And, man, you kind of over the years, the things kind of run together, and there's not, a lot of things you remember specifically about the games, but I kind of went back in our archives and read the stories, and then the memories come flooding back, and there's always bits and pieces you remember about those games. And a lot of it's stuff that's kind of personal to you, as a viewer or somebody covering the games. And there's a lot of things that, for instance, the Warren Central New Albany game, of course, everybody remembers the setting and the shot at the end, the fourth quarter comeback, and going back and reading how many, big shots Dean Tate for Warren Central hit in that game to kind of keep them in it there late, and keep them alive. But then I remember too being, watching Romeo as he walked towards the bench, and then talking to him in the locker room after the game, and Jim Shannon, and you kind of remember all those little details more specifically, at least I do, than the actual game sometimes. So that was a really fun exercise. In the game in Richmond, when Romeo had 43 at the end of the third quarter, and I do remember thinking in that fourth quarter, I was like, man, I hope he keeps scoring, because it was a hard 43. It was like, I mean, he made it look easy, but it was a legit, if he wanted to go get 60, he probably could have. And I thought that was, he didn't force anything in the fourth quarter, and he ended up with 46, but it was a legit 46. There was nothing, extra about that. He wasn't piling on at the end of the game. And that was maybe, that performance, it was such an electric atmosphere that day. And, even the Southport people, I remember at halftime, going to the bathroom or going in the hallway, and I knew a lot of those people from covering the team so much that year and running into them, and they're like, man, he can't keep scoring like that, can he? Or can't stay that hot, can he? And it was like, man, it was one of those days where there's nothing, Southport was throwing all kinds of different people at him and nothing mattered. It was just a phenomenal performance. And, the game itself didn't go down to the wire, but I don't think anybody who was there that day will remember, what that feeling was like.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, is as great of a piece as it was. I know a lot of New Albany fans messaged me and said, boy, this time of year, Kyle's story really brought back some heartbreak from that Warren Central game that Saturday in Seymour of the Semi-State. That, thinking back on it, what a classic finish that was. And, of course, the end of Romeo Langford's high school career. And we all, and I can't name how many times, Kyle, that you from Indianapolis made the trip down to New Albany or somewhere in southern Indiana to follow the Romeo story. Yeah. You were basically a beat writer for that entire career of his, and that marked the end of what was just a legendary high school career in our state.
It was, and then I actually just this week made the trip down there for another reason. Not, you know, we went through New Albany to go. I'll leave you waiting for the story, because it's going to be a good one, but it's not really specific to New Albany by any means. But we made that trip, and I was telling our photographer, I remember making this trip so many times, coming to see New Albany play wherever their game was at. And a lot of times it was New Albany, and bringing my dad down there, that was a fun trip that we had together to see. I can't remember who they were playing exactly, but so he got to sit up there and watch it with me one game, and it was just a lot of, it's something that I think over time, it'll become even more special as time is removed. And I think that game specifically will also, even though it was so heartbreaking for New Albany fans, will also become, more. It definitely, I always had the Hamilton Southeastern North Central game. And that was a fantastic game, back and forth, up and down. And that was 2012 when Gary Harris hit that shot. It was number one against number three in the sectional, the first round of the sectional that year. But to me, because of the stakes, because it was Romeo's last game, and because of the way the game finished, David Bell against Romeo, that was just such a phenomenal game. And the atmosphere was just incredible, absolutely incredible. Even before that, when you walked in for the Morristown Bar Reeve game an hour before that game, and that was a fantastic game as well. So that whole day is something special, really, that whole week, with the tickets being gobbled up and the everything leading up to that, and then the games themselves, both those games, were excellent games. So that was a really unique week, I think, in Indiana high school basketball, and it's one that I'll always cherish. And I actually drove around that week to the four different places and talk to the teams and the administrators and coaches that week. So that was a really fun week.
Absolutely. Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, the state tournament this year is just around the corner. And I think even in the sectional round, we're going to have some great matchups as we move through next week, starting on Tuesday night. I've had a couple people say, ask Kyle, who seems to know the entire state, who is maybe some of his favorites to win some of the different classes. So can you give us a brief overview of maybe some teams you expect to have a chance to cut down nets later in the month?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, and around here we've got, just a titanic matchup in the first game at Sectional 10 between Cathedral and Lawrence North. And both of those teams, in my opinion, are legitimate, state championship contenders. One of them is going to be knocked out. They're ranked 3 and 4 in the state in 4A right now. And so that will determine, whichever team comes out of that, I think, is a small favorite to win Sectional 10, because you get some other really good teams in there. But I think the two, on the north side of the 4A bracket, I would probably slightly give the advantage to Homestead or Carmel. Whichever team comes out of that, I think, is probably the odds-on favorite to win the state title, or at least make it to the state finals and play whoever comes out of the south. I think Carmel's playing really well right now. They're at full strength. They just hammered Attucks earlier this week, and Attucks is a really good team. So, I think they're really, kind of finding their stride, and a game against Homestead and what would be the regional round, I think, could be the game of the tournament, really. I think that'll be a phenomenal game between those two teams. So I would, kind of the co-favorites there, and then, whoever comes out of the south, I think Cathedral might be the best team in that side of the bracket, but they have not had much tournament success here recently, so kind of getting over the hump, can they win a big game against Lawrence North in what will be, I'm told Sectional 10 will have 50% crowd. It won't be, the total atmosphere, but it'll feel like a big game, I'm sure, on Wednesday night at Tech. So I think whoever wins that's a slight favorite. But You know, 3A, I think Silver Creek, to me, you know, I think a Silver Creek-Hammond game in the state championship would be a lot of fun. I've seen Hammond play. They're legit. You know, their only loss is to Lawrence North early in the year. And, you know, that was a game they probably should have won. They kind of let it get away at the very end. But, you know, I would never, you know, pick against Silver Creek based on, you know, the guys that they have with, you know, Kaufman, Jacoby, and Northern. I think that at the 3A level, if you have three guys like that, and the experience they have in the tournament, you know, I'd have a hard time, you know, picking against them. But I do think Hammond could give them, you know, a really good game. The weird thing about Hammond is they've only played, they're only 14-1. So kind of an odd, in a very odd season, you know, they haven't played a ton of games where most of the, you know, most of the top teams anyway have played a relatively full schedule. They have not. So that, you know, you never know how that could factor in. And in 2A, 2A is really a good, really strong, you know, class with a lot of good senior classes among the top teams. But, you know, I think anybody would probably pick Fort Wayne Blackhawk as the favorite. I've seen them play probably about as many times as a lot of the Indianapolis area teams. I think I've seen them five or six times this year. And, you know, it's not just Caleb First. You know, Zane Burke, who's going to St. Francis, is a really, really good player. Marcus Davidson, the coach's son, as a senior, he can fill it up. He had 19 in the second half alone against Addicts the other day, last Saturday. So, you know, that's a team. When you've got 6'9" guy like First who just rebounds everything, not many 2A teams can match that. But I tell you, that is a really, really good class. I think 2A is going to be a lot of fun, you know, to kind of see how that all shakes out. We've got a team here, Covenant Christian, who's another, you know, senior-led team that I think could really make some noise and potentially, you know, come out of that southern half. And I don't know if they've got enough to quite match up with First inside, but I think if they make it there, they could give Blackhawk a pretty good game. But a long way to go for Covenant Christian. Then, you know, 1A, you know, we've got some good teams around here as well. Tindley and Lutheran are playing in the same sectional, and I think both those teams are capable of making a run in 1A. Only one of them obviously can come out of there, but I think really probably the best team I've seen in 1A is Bar Reeve. And again, they've got such a tough draw, you know, with Lagodi and North Davies both in their sectional, who both played them tough during the year. And I was surprised, honestly, after watching them at the Hall of Fame, I was like, I don't think there's any 1A teams that can match up with these guys. And then, you know, basically a couple weeks later, Lagodi and North Davies in the same weekend, you know, plays them really, really tough. I think they're both like within 2 or 3 points. So those teams are obviously legit. That sectional 63 is always, you know, always an absolute battle. And then Couts up north, I went up there and did a story on Couts, and they've got, you know, they're a little bit different team. They're run and gun, and then, you know, full court press, and they're not a huge team, but they got two sets of twins in their starting lineup. It's kind of unique, and they're really good too. They've got to get through Gary 21st in that sectional, but Gary 21st is much younger this year than they've been. So that's another team to look out for in 1A, and another senior-led team. So I always look for those when you got those senior-led teams and kids who have been playing together for a long time. I always think they kind of have a little bit of an advantage once it comes tournament time. But yeah, I'd say it seems pretty clear to me in 2A. You know, with Blackhawk, you definitely peg them as the favorite. I think Silver Creek, you know, there's some good teams in 3A, but I think they're the team to beat. 4A and 1A. You know, maybe a little bit more unknown, but I'd say Bar Reeve in 1A. And then, like I said, 4A is probably, you know, a little bit more wide open. There's a lot of, you know, there's a couple teams there at the top, like I mentioned, but there's also another, you know, 10 to 15 who I think on a given night can beat a team like Carmel or Homestead. Those teams aren't clearly head and shoulders above everybody else who they'll be playing against. So even in Carmel sectional, there's a lot of really good teams that that could potentially knock them off on a given night.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, want to switch to the girls' state championship tomorrow. Obviously, we have the opportunity here in southern Indiana for Silver Creek to win a 3A state championship. They play against, it looks like, a very formidable opponent in South Bend, Washington on Saturday afternoon. That's a game that we'll broadcast live here on the Big X. I know this has been done, and I think it's been done fairly recently, but I've had a couple people say, don't want to jinx anything, but if Silver Creek could win the girls tomorrow and the boys could have another run to the state championship, of course, Hammond could be a fantastic championship game on the boys' side, as you mentioned, but and win it as well. There have been teams win the boys' and the girls' championship in the same year, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. We've got another project coming that I've been. It's a high school gyms project, the biggest gyms in Indiana. So that's a, we've got that coming early next week, and I've been working on that basically all week long. But that was something I was thinking about too, Matt. And I don't know specifically the last time that happened, but you know, you look at it, you've got Silver Creek. That's a team that could do it. Honestly, Linton Stockton is another team in 2A. Talking about how tough 2A is this year, they're a really good team. On the boys' side this year, too, and the Linton Stockton girls are playing tonight, actually, for the state championship in 2A. So you've got a couple of them there. Brownsburg is playing. Brownsburg boys are probably, not a team that you would think of right off the top as a state championship contender, but potentially they could be. And honestly, the girls, they're a 10-loss team, so, you never know, what could happen in the tournament. But, that's a great question. That's something I need to look up. And, Ligoti is also, in 1A playing, for a state titles, and their boys are really good. Now, they have to get through, probably get through Bar Reef to win that sectional on the boys' side. But, so that's kind of a fun anecdote, I think, to the girls' side, is you got these teams that could potentially, and it's a long way to go, obviously, and the boys haven't even started, but, some really good teams on both the boys' and girls' side this year.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, it's a great time of year. There's no question about it. The girls' state championships this weekend. The boys' tournament gets underway tomorrow. And after what everyone experienced a year ago with this thing coming to a screeching halt as the pandemic set in, I think we're just ready for some great postseason basketball, and it's almost here on the boys' side.
Yeah, and I, and something next week, I'm almost anticipating this will happen. Is there will be pictures of crowds that are gathered and not wearing masks, and I'm almost shuddering already at that my editor calling me to follow up on these stories. So I just hope everybody's smart. I think 50% is a lot of the capacities everywhere. So I just hope definitely. Well beyond the point of thinking, the COVID police or anything like that. But I just hope everybody's smart about what they're doing, and we can have good crowds and still be safe crowds, and it'll be a good time next week. And always look forward to this week. I'm a little bit leery, because of that. But I hope it is everybody does what they're supposed to be doing at the sites, and there's people kind of running what's happening there and making sure people are doing the right things.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, enjoy some hoops this weekend, and we'll catch up again once the tournament is underway next Friday.
All right. Sounds great, Matt. Thanks a lot.
All right. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always fun to help us wrap up the week. And that's going to also wrap up this Friday edition of the program. Don't forget, coming up tonight, pregame coverage at 7 o'clock, tip-off at 7:30. New Albany hosts Bloomington North. It's our last regular season broadcast of the year. And then on Saturday afternoon, you can join myself and Brian Sullivan. We'll be at Bankers Life Fieldhouse to bring you the play-by-play story of the Silver Creek girls as they try to bring home a state championship back to Southern Indiana. No doubt about it, it is going to be a fun one on Saturday afternoon. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, we do this program each weekday live at 11 o'clock, and you can also catch the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts by searching for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Thanks so much for being with us. This is The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.